Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Bodcast.
I'm Lisa Bainham. I have been asked to have a chat to you today about complaints. They are a practice manager's worst nightmare, generally. We all get them. Sometimes, you know, it's if we've not done something correct, or a process has gone wrong, or it can just be something that the patient's decided they're going to moan about. But whatever form the complaint takes, it is really important with your role that you react to that. How you react to it really depends on whether it ends up escalating or whether it goes away. Obviously, it's really important that your team are all on board with it as well, because they can spot the complaints before they actually happen. So by doing a lot of team training and teaching them how to spot them, whether it's a patient looking a bit grumpy, or it can be, you know, somebody stood stomping the feet at reception demanding to see the practice manager, whatever form it takes, your team needs to be on alert to react to that and make sure that it's dealt with, ideally before the patient leaves, or if not, just like passed over to you. One of the first sort of responses that you should have with the patient is, you know, apologising. It's not an admission of guilt. It's a gesture of, I'm going to listen to you, and I'm really sorry that you feel the need, that you're not, or you're not happy. And actually spending a little bit of time thinking about your communication skills, so active listening and the verbal side, so making sure that when you're talking to your patients that you're very aware of the tone. It's okay, you know, you have to react to how that patient is. You can't just say, oh, I'm really sorry, this is complaints procedure, off you go, send us a letter, email, you know, whatever. You need to actually sit down and think to yourself, why is this patient sat in front of me now? There's quite a few different things I would say with complaints is, firstly, try not to get them. And by using a lot of feedback in practice, I find that we can see the problems before they actually happen. Doesn't matter how you get the feedback, whether it's digital or verbal, or even, you know, on paper. We do a range in our practice. Most patients after their visit will be given an iPad or asked to fill out a form. They don't have to, we don't pressure them. I normally ask the girls to try and get at least 5 each a day, for one reason, obviously, to try and see if there is a problem and stopping it from happening again. And also for things like CQC, inspectors are very, very happy to see that you've got feedback and you're actively trying to improve your practice. Again, if your team are asked to record these things, then it's being measured. So the whole being a well-led practice in the CQCIs comes into play as well. There are lots of regulations and there's legalities, obviously, of complaints. So for, you know, you've got your complaints route, so you have to respond within 72 hours. And there's a lot of misconception, you know, people think you have to respond immediately, and you don't, you have to acknowledge it. So once you've acknowledged it, you know, you need to go and spend the time talking to, if there's other people involved, some, maybe a dentist or a nurse or a hygienist or a member of reception. So you need to go and spend the time talking to them about what the patient's complaining about, get all your facts, and invite the patient back in once you've got all those facts. Obviously, sometimes it's clinical, and I'm not clinical, so I have to speak to the dentist, I look at the notes, everything's laid out in front of me, and I try and do a timeline of and spot where it's gone wrong. Things do go wrong. It is completely unavoidable, and sometimes not even your fault. So when you've got the GDC providing standards for you, I think it's don't quote me, I'm pretty sure it's standard 5, and they basically stating that you need to have a clear policy. you need to have a team that knows how to deal with the complaints if a patient raises one immediately. There's lots of different standards. And then going forward with that, obviously, you've then got your key lines of inquiry for CQC. And showing that you are responsive, it's quite a specific outcome. You need to really, really get the whole team familiar with that, because when we had an inspection, we actually did get asked that, and a couple of team members got asked that. So it's no good you knowing all about it. You need to make sure that every single team member knows it. And for CQC, they aren't even looking. If you've got a complaints folder and it's pretty full, obviously, one, you need to start looking at what's going wrong. But you also need to be really transparent with it. So I'll give you an example of my practice. We had a patient come in to the hygienist, and unfortunately, a handpiece literally just popped apart. We weren't sure if the patient had inhaled a part. It was tiny, quite stressful for her. Obviously, a hygienist quite distraught. We followed the complaints and the response policy that we've got for situations like this. Absolutely to the T. We escorted the patient to the hospital for a scan. We then got the maintenance reports and the service reports for that specific handpiece, and we sat down and we were confident, actually, there's nothing we've done wrong here. These things do happen. The CQC inspector, all she was bothered about was the process that we used to deal with the potential complaint or the problem, and the fact that we'd all sat down as a team and then said at a practice meeting, it's not our fault, but how do we deal with this? So now we've got some extra checks. So the hygienist will check the handpiece and the nurse checks the handpiece at the same time. It's not 100% proof, things happen. But from a complaints point of view, CQC just want to see that your practice is really well led. So don't try and hide things. If you get complaints, embrace them, which is really hard. Because, I, for one, if I get a complaint, I take it so personal, and I try not to. But when you care about your practice and your team and the care you're providing, you do. You get quite touchy, but that's a good thing. It shows that you do care. But just respond to them in a really clever way. So if you have a Google review, they're amazing, from a marketing point of view. But it is also there for patients to have a moan if they're not happy about something. So little things you can do. So a patient says, I wasn't happy with this, they kept me waiting at this appointment. Respond to it, apologize for it, but then also go on to what you're trying to do as a practice. So turn the negative into, it's a bit cliche, I know, turn the negative into a positive. And people will look at that. And if they're not gonna look at that and go, when you've got all these other really great complaints, quite often they'll look at that and think, well, that patient's just having a really good moan there. But if you've responded really, really well, it's shown that you're not hiding. Things do go wrong. You don't get it right 100% of the time. We're only human. But when you show that you really care that this patient wasn't 100% happy, that really, really makes a big difference between, a practice growing. Complaints, they are tricky and they will give you sleepless nights. And not only that, if it's not dealt with properly and ideally locally, as in invite the patient in. I would say in my 20 years, most complaints have actually escalated a couple of times, and that's when I've not been able to get the patient in for a chat. So keeping it local and not being afraid to sit in front of them, because sometimes people can get a bit carried away, kind of keyboard warriors, send a rant email or start being strappy on the phone. If you're sat with a person, it's much harder for them to be completely irrational and unreasonable. So they've got to look you in the eye. So they're a little bit more nicer to deal with generally. I suppose we're all guilty of that. I'm probably a bit braver if I'm going to moan about something, start tapping my keyboard, writing the email. But yeah, keeping it local. These people come into you for such a personal thing. Why wouldn't you want to sit in front of them and check that they're okay? So yeah, it's really important. But getting the whole team on board is even more important, whether it's nurses, you know, it can't just be down to admin or practice managers and reception. It's got to be everybody involved. Talking of team training, one of the things that we try and do is, as well as doing it so that we work really well with each other, because there is like 40 of us, so trying to get that blend of the, you know, a harmonious team is really hard. We've started to use emotional intelligence, which I know my first thoughts on that were a bit faffy, but when you're a bit more aware of people's personality types, it allows you to integrate better as a team. So the way I am with one person, I'll be a bit different with another, and vice versa. I have to be aware of how I can come across. So we started doing it for the team, but then I also thought, hang on a minute, if I apply this to complaints, how does that work out? So by analysing the type of person I've got sat in front of me that's having a moan, I can deal with that complaint so much better for them. So if I've got kind of quite a direct person, as I am quite a direct person, you know, that patient maybe doesn't want me to sit down with a whole list of, oh, well, this happened then because of this and that happened then. They just want to know that we're sorry and what we're going to do about it. So I can read a D character like that, because I don't want all the details. I just want to know those two questions. But then you'll have another patient that needs it dissecting and needs to know what's happened and why it's happened, and, you know, a lot more detail. So having some training as part of your team on emotional intelligence, you have to deliver it to your team in a certain way, but once they start to see the benefits, it just makes things so much easier. And I would say using that for complaints is one of the best things that I've done in the last few years. I have only been doing it for the last few years, but it was kind of like a penny had dropped. So yeah, the other thing that is quite new is I've been talking to Mark Topley, who is a CSR coach. Never really understood before what CSR meant, especially for dental practices, because the first thing you think about when CSR is charity. Do we need to give to charity? And it's not just about that, it's about promoting yourselves and having not just an image of they're a great practice, being a great practice by not just looking at yourselves, looking at your community, what's going on around, giving a bit back. And again, people's first thoughts generally are CSR, what's that got to do with complaints? But it fits. It's really, again, harder for people to complain to you if you're a really nice person and you're a really nice practice. So I'm not saying pull the wool over their eyes, you know, it's just you want your patients to like you. You need them to like you. You want them to come to you. And by showing them that you're not just about profit, you are actually a really caring practice. Because you're caring for them, it just really helps. So yeah, I think CSR is going to start creeping in, and people are going to be looking a lot more about the complaints side of that. So yeah, complaints can be exciting sometimes. Thank you for listening. I hope you found it useful.